Hey, welcome in, everybody. Jaguars Today brought to you on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, 8 weeks young today, Tony. So wrapping up our eighth week. And I'll probably get tired of pointing out these mini milestones.
Nope.
Eventually. No, I will. I will. I won't get tired of it. I'll just lose track of it. Up till now, though, I can count in the single digits. So I continue to march on. Minicamp's done. OTAs are done. Rookie minicamp in the rear view. The draft, free agency. It's all done, Tony. All the work is done. Now they go into hibernation for the next 5 or so weeks.
Yeah, they do.
Whatever time period it is. Head out to Tahoe, maybe.
The dead
play
time.
Some golf.
This is the time of year for the next 5 weeks, people. You want to hear no headlines.
No headlines.
About any Jaguar player or anything going on.
Unless it's someone participating in a youth football camp.
Sure.
Of which there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. This is the time. I wonder about that. Do coaches hold their breath? Gus Bradley's going to be around. I know he's around on Monday. Hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with him before he takes a little downtime as well. But, you know, that message, I think, is universal around the National Football League at this time of year. You heard Jim Harbaugh, they said, gave a talk to his team and said, basically, consider your circumstances, your surroundings. Don't put yourself in a position to... you know, get caught up in something that maybe not your fault, but just, you know, look at the people you're associating with, look at the places that you're going. You know, fair or not, it's just part of life if you're in the National Football League. But the higher profile you are, especially.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll still get the weekly Johnny Manziel update on where he's at and partying and that kind of thing. I don't get the sense that we're going to have a lot of that with people following the Jags as far as paparazzi. But look,
that is one thing. You could probably play for the Jags and get away with a lot more.
Probably.
Right? Don't
but
you
you're
think?
Still in the NFL. I mean, if you get yourself in trouble, everybody's going to find out about it. I mean, that's how it works in today's world.
If you're playing in the NFL,
someone's going to find out
about
it.
If Cecil Shorts walked into, who's the most famous Jaguar right now? I mean, who's the most recognized? We talk about the face of the franchise, that kind of thing, in terms of their stature on the team and you know, how good a player they are. Yeah, who's the most recognizable player on this football team? I mean, literally recognizable. Like, he walked into an auditorium of 10,000 sports fans.
Like, all-time or currently?
Currently. There aren't many to choose from. Is it Bortles, maybe? Is it Henny? Is it Puzlesny?
Is
it Gerhardt?
It might be Gerhardt.
I don't know. How many people could pick Toby Gerhardt out of a lineup? They might look at him and say, football player.
How many people would pick Blake Bortles out of a lineup?
I don't know, but he's at least been on television in the draft process, you know, in the lead-up. You see him, you know, path to the draft, that kind of stuff. I bet he has had more public. Maybe it's Denard Robinson?
I mean, maybe.
I don't know, but, you know, these guys with their helmets off versus helmets on, you see Denard Robinson, you see the hair coming out of the back of his helmet. Could you necessarily pick him out without the helmet on? I don't know.
Pressing question.
Who is that? So my point being, you could get away with a lot of stuff if you're one of these players, perhaps.
You just got to say you're somebody else.
Or say you're
some member of the Titans.
I'm not even talking about doing illegal stuff, just doing stuff that might get reported on, like so-and-so was here amidst this. People wouldn't even notice, you know, with a lot of Jaguar players, so there is that maybe that small benefit of anonymity that comes with playing with the team.
Cecil Short just goes to a bar and keeps insisting that he's Justin Hunter and and raising hell, and Justin's going to get in trouble, and he's going to be, I was never at that bar.
Hunter's got a few inches on him, but nobody, you tell him TV puts that on you.
Right.
You know, nobody
knows. They don't know.
I mean, you ever see some of the stories of guys that have passed themselves off as other famous people? That they look nothing like.
Yeah.
By the way, I watched a movie last night as a quick aside. Have you heard of Enemy with Jake Gyllenhaal?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
He plays a guy who meets another guy who happens to live in his town who's like his exact duplicate.
Doppelganger.
He's a doppelganger. It's exactly what he is, Tony. It's a doppelganger movie. So not sure how I felt about it. It was I watched it last night. You know, it was one of those deals. Thursday night, it's not exactly must-see TV night for me anyway, like it used to be way back in the day. Thursday night, NBC invented must-see TV on Thursday nights way back when.
I'm sorry that you don't have anything to watch on Thursdays.
No, I do. Well, gang-related's not bad. But other than that, you know, it's now we're looking like everybody else. What are we going to do to fill these next 5 weeks? Today, we're going to assign grades to the off season, what they've done to this point. Now, obviously, over the last few months, we've talked plenty about the draft, talked about free agency, the impact on this team, both on this show, all the shows on 1010XL, our previous incarnation in the afternoon, and all that. But you've had that. You've had a rookie minicamp. You've had OTAs, 9 out of 10 days, anyway, that they're scheduled to practice.
Sure.
You had veteran minicamp, and we know everything we're going to know about this football team, for the most part, barring some minor cosmetic things that could happen. They could pick up a player here or there. They signed 3 guys yesterday who are the longest of shots to make this football team when it cuts down ultimately to the 53-man roster. But other than those kind of stories, not going to be making much news until late July when they report back for training camp. So as Jaguar fans today, we ask you, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asks you to tweet us. Post on Facebook. You can call in today as well. A lot of time for open phone lines at 641-1010. Obviously, the grade you were assigned to this offseason is what? Incomplete, right? I get it. We don't know. Until we see the fruits of this offseason's labor, you really can't tell. But that's not the business we're in, Tony. We're not in the business of handing out incomplete grades. So
no,
we want an A-plus through an F. You can even go F-minus. If you're really a hater.
If you're that negative, yeah.
Whatever. And just give us your thought on the overall, everything combined. Free agency, guys they released, guys they re-signed, like Cinderic Marks, the draft, how they executed in the draft, did they overreach? You can factor in anything you want on all of this stuff, and you can roll in what you've seen with your own eyes as fans out at these practices that have been open to the public, or
sure,
just reports that you've heard about how these players are progressing, give an overall grade to the Jaguars all season up until this point, and we'll get into that a little bit today. I'm interested to hear later on today, I know you caught up with a couple of Jags yesterday after practice, Tony, which was cut short. We got out there just as we arrived to the practice field. The horn was blowing 3 times.
Yep.
Which is a biblical harbinger of the end of practice, I believe, when you hear that horn blow 3 times in rapid succession. But it was done by the time we got out there yesterday. I know you got a chance to catch up with Cecil Shorts, but we've heard from Cecil plenty of times. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. But I'm more interested to learn a little bit more about Mike Brewster today. We'll hear that conversation coming up later. Just what was your take on, you know, Brewster's comfort level as a guy now who came in as an undrafted free agent, hasn't been here very long, and has been praised more for his off the field work this offseason, I think, by Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, but right now is being penciled in and counted on to be a big part of that offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about the offensive line and everything that's going on up front with Luke Joku coming off that injury. They bring in a new face in Zane Beatles at left guard. Mike Brewster is there at center, a position that he hadn't played in a couple years because of the health of a guy like Brad Meester. You have potentially a rookie playing right guard, and Austin Pastore over there at right tackle. There are a lot of questions about what is going on up front for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think there are going to be some people out there who feel like, look, this unit's going to gel. Look at the talent that they brought in on that offensive line with Beatles and Joku coming back. And they have a guy that they liked at least in Linder at right guard potentially. And then there's another way to look at that line as they haven't played together. Zane Beatles is a guy that it was 50-50. From people who were talking about looking at his game tape and what he actually brings to a team on the field, that he was really good
mediocre. Right, but is he worth the money they paid him?
And how long does it take for that unit to gel together with a guy playing center that hasn't done it at this level yet? I mean, and those are all valid questions to go along with the fact that it's Chad Henne under center, at least to start the year, which I think that's part of the reason that it is Chad Henne, is because of all those questions they have up front. What is the point of throwing Blake Bortles in potentially to the Wolves if that's going to be your situation on the offensive line this year, and the two guys you drafted to be playmakers haven't been able to participate in camp? Doesn't mean they're not going to be ready when training camp opens up and when the regular season gets rolling, but there's a learning curve with wide receivers. There are still big questions on the offensive side of the ball. I think, Mike, they upgraded a lot of things, but how much? I don't know. And there's no place where there's a bigger question about how much they've really upgraded than on the offensive line.
Yeah, well, and that's like a lot of these things we won't know until we see them actually with the pads on, and even then until they get into actual game situations. It all sounds good on paper, and that's really all we're given is a paper grade today to the off season. All of it kind of goes out the window once a regular season starts, but we're a long way away from there. And we got 2 hours to talk about the Jaguars in the National Football League.
Yes,
today.
We do.
So we will get into that, including, if we have time today, Terry Bradshaw has been making the rounds, making headlines, for not attending Chuck Knoll's funeral service or memorial service prior to that, any of that stuff, which is his choice, but we can talk about that. But yesterday, I really don't think it was yesterday, per se, that he came out with pointed comments about Peyton Manning. My takeaway from this story is that he talks about this during his one-man show that he apparently goes around and performs, what is it, America's Dumbest Favorite Dumb Blonde or something like that. It's I think that's what he calls the show, something along those lines. And so I think what happened was this story got out there about Knoll, so somebody went to one of his performances and reported back to Pro Football Talk what he had said about Peyton Manning, which was basically the guy's a choker in the big games, which may in fact be true. But it certainly, you know, sets up nicely to glorify a guy who's won 4 Super Bowls on the backs of a Steel Curtain defense back in the 1970s.
Sure.
So he's been making the rounds. We'll get into that a little bit today. J.P. Shattuck's going to stop by. They've got the Got Skills Rookie Clinic today for the kids out on the practice field happening right now. So the rookie class putting in a little bit of overtime as the rest of their teammates are off. For
jet setting
the summer for the most part. Yeah, a lot of them probably are doing whatever it is they do. Getting better, we hope, Tony. Getting better every day. The caravan last night, the Jag fan caravan, was down in Palm Coast. Be in Oviedo tonight. Anybody from Oviedo like the Jags these days? Probably so.
Well, if you're going to go to Oviedo, why not bring Blake Bortles?
Could you imagine?
Storm
we're
Johnson.
Going to Oviedo, but we're going to bring Sendarik Marks and Winston Guy.
Nothing wrong with those guys.
Nothing wrong with those guys.
I think Oviedo wants to hear from their man.
Especially, you're right. Blake Bortles will be there. Storm Johnson will be there. And Cecil's making the trip down to Oviedo tonight. Port Orange tomorrow. So the Jags trying to spread that territorial footprint. Right now. So phone lines open to you today if you want to get in and talk about how you've seen this offseason through your eyes this year, and realizing that grades on any of this stuff other than incomplete are, you know, not worth the paper they're printed on. Let's not print them on paper. Let's just talk about them on the radio. They're worth much more that way to us when you factor in everything, free agency, the draft, the workouts, what they've gotten out of these guys, the swings they took, a la Alex Mack, that they came up empty with. Maybe you factor that in, maybe you don't, and assign a grade to the Jags and give us your reasoning why. Tweet us today and every day at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. And in addition to that, post on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Jaguars today. There's always a thread for the day's question of the day, so you can jump in on there and maybe win yourself a Jaguars Today t-shirt. Always include the hashtag Jaguars Today if you want it read on the air, and we always spend time at the end of the show looking at some of the responses we got via the social media. So, Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. You can find out more at claudenolan.com or by calling them at 642-5111. Our number here today, as always, 641-1010. Phone lines open to you. J.P. Shattuck coming up today. Cecil Shorts coming up today. Mike Brewster coming up today. And a bunch more. It's Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Here in Northeast Ohio.
Is Neil Young, Tony?
No, this is Bruce.
Oh, this is Bruce?
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to play Bruce on this show.
I know, but he fits the theme.
Doesn't matter what the theme is. Here's the theme. Here's the theme. It's a Bruce Springsteen free
show
zone for 2 hours a day. That's the theme. All right,
I can handle that.
What is this?
The title is Youngstown.
See, I knew there was a Young involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Youngstown, Ohio.
Uh-huh. And why would the theme have anything to do with Ohio?
Because Urban Meyer's a pompous ass.
Mike Brewster's coming on.
And?
He went to Ohio
Shorts. And Cecil Shorts. Exactly. Okay. Both players that we have on are from Ohio.
Wow.
Well, for, not technically from. They both went to college in Ohio.
And this is what you came up with? You couldn't have gone with, I don't know, maybe like a song called Ohio?
That one would have been even easier.
For instance?
That one's coming up later. That one is too easy. That's like giving candy to a baby.
Okay.
Are you questioning my music
theme? What about going back to Ohio? Right, was that, who was that, the Pretenders? Who did that one? Pretenders. Fortunato says yes.
Yep.
I'm delving into water that's above my head. I don't know the
just
music.
Just sit back, relax, and enjoy, okay?
I love that Neil Young song, though.
I do, too. That's a great song.
He does that was a...
He's in the playlist.
Yeah. Is he? All right.
He is.
Fantastic. All right. 641-1010 if you want to get in. We're going to hear from Gus coming up momentarily. He was on last night on Jaguars Thursday with J.P. Shadrick and Jeff Loggeman. And Tony Buscelli checking in from the Caravan last night. Catch those guys at 6 o'clock every Thursday night. The Caravan, as we said, continues tonight. We're trying to expand the fan base down in Oviedo, Port Orange. Next week, where are they next week? Up in Brunswick? Or am I wrong about that?
I'll have to look it up.
I think they're going up there soon, but they're all over the place. You know what? If you're a season ticket holder, maybe you don't need to be out of the fan caravan, but the Jaguar machinery is continuing to churn away to try to increase that devoted following up until this point. Today, asking you to give an off-season grade to the Jags up to this point. What do you see them as for their off-season work and their off-season work only? Basically, from the time the Super Bowl ended until now, how have they gone about their business, conducted themselves, met their objectives, met your expectations, met your goals for this football team, because that's really where the grade comes in. They're going to say, obviously, they do things that in their mind make sense at the time. And so they do those things. I don't know how you can give yourself anything but a good grade if you go out and accomplish what you set out to do. So I hear a lot of people, Tony, in the last 24 hours questioning, man, why'd they give all this money to Jason Babbitt? What do they get out of this $500,000 that they sunk? Well, first of all, it's not your money. Doesn't impact salary cap. Yes, Shad Khan's out $1 million. Here's what they got. They got the insurance policy against some of these young defensive linemen showing up and not playing.
Sure.
You know, their best, right? They got a more of a known commodity, and they got the ability to control whether or not Jason Babin's services would be rendered here in Jacksonville. And sometimes that's the cost of doing business. You got to pay a little bit of money up front to secure that insurance. And that's what it turned out to be. Does Shad Khan want to flush $500,000 down the drain? No. But that's not something that's going to impact this franchise other than Shad Khan's personal wealth and the team's bottom line. By $500,000, it's not going to impact their ability to compete, contend, sign anybody else, do anything like that. They're so far under the salary cap that has no impact whatsoever.
No, I completely agree with you. And we talked a lot about the Babin situation yesterday. I feel like, look, this team is in a position where they can cut a guy like Jason Babin. I mean, so that's the bottom line to me, and feel like they're still okay at a position that's not anywhere close to where they were 2 years ago, basically, when these guys took over. It's incredible the turnaround at some of the positions on this team, especially there on the defensive line.
Jason Babin was coming in to be the pass rush savior for this football team.
He was.
Hey, look, he did a nice job last year, led the team in sacks. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying, like you said, it's a good sign. Here's a good sign, Tony. The phone lines are working.
Nice.
Okay? We encourage our overseas callers to give us a shout. They're always asking us to shout out, you know, the Bold City Brigade chapter of the United Kingdom and this and that. Hey, how about reversing it, and especially when we send you a T-shirt to the Emerald Isle.
Oh!
As our buddy Stevie, Irish Jaguar on Twitter, is calling in from somewhere in the great land of Ireland right now on Jaguars Today. Stevie, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We're fantastic, man. Give us a little background on you, man. Yeah, we appreciate all the tweets and following along with the show and all the support you're showing the Jags. How did you get into being a Jaguar fan?
My dad has always been big into every sport known to man. And so I used to watch all of them with him as a kid. And there used to be I think it was Sunday morning, or probably be Saturday morning highlight show on one of the British channels that we got here in Ireland, and of the NFL. And I'd watched that, and I kind of got into it. I sort of preferred the stop-start nature of American football compared to, say, soccer or Gaelic football over here, because I thought it was more cerebral, the sort of working out your play, and then it's all like kind of like chess in a way. You're working out your strategies. So I got into it before the Jaguars existed at the time. And then, excuse me, there was one day near the start of the 95 season where they were talking about the new teams, and that pointed them out to me. And as soon as I saw the Jaguars uniform, I knew that was the team that I was going to support.
The uniform sold you on it.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I was 12, so that's
it's all good, man.
And have you worn the shirt out in public yet? And are people asking you what's up with Jaguars
today?
Yeah,
what the hell is that thing on your shirt?
Well, I'm calling from the office at the moment. They're all pretty used to me wearing various Jaguars merchandise. They did ask about the radio station logo on the back. They're wondering how I could listen to it, but I just over the internet.
Spread the gospel, brother. Spread the gospel.
Exactly.
There you go. Hey, let me ask you a couple of questions that may have no relation to anything Jaguar-related. Where are you in Ireland?
Southwest, Cork City.
Cork City. Okay. How far is that from County Dublin? That's where my dad grew up years ago. I've never been to Ireland. I still have a lot of family there.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours direct by bus.
Okay.
But so, it's like the furthest. This is the southwest corner, and if we go to the northeast corner, which would be like right across the country, it'd still only be about 6 hours. So it's not that big a country.
I gotcha. All right. So yeah. Everything's kind of close. It's kind of like Jacksonville. It only takes you about 3 hours to get from one point to another. Have you ever been to Jacksonville, Stevie?
No, not yet. I'm getting married next month. Next year. And the plan is to go to America for the honeymoon, and I'm hoping to get a game while we're over there.
Oh, yeah. If you're making it to the States, brother, and you're as passionate a Jaguar fan over in the Emerald Isle, I have a feeling you'll be able to find a way to work
that
out.
It's kind of odd, though, to hear somebody talk about, I want to go honeymoon in the United States.
It's awesome.
Considering all we want to do is get out. And we go.
That's fantastic. I tell you what, we'll get your bride-to-be a lovely Jaguars Today t-shirt to go with it, and that will, if that doesn't convince her to come to a game.
I already kind of sold her on the idea that she can go to the Harry Potter land in Orlando.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's expanding later this month, I think. So, I'll
take your word for it on the Harry Potter update from Fat Tony there. Are you going to the game in London against the Cowboys this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what the schedule is going to be like. I am tentatively scheduled to be over there doing the Jaguars Today program live all week. I'd love to meet a collection of you Jaguar passionate fans from over in the UK if that opportunity presents itself, man.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm flying in with my brother on I think it's Friday morning.
Excellent.
So we'll be there all weekend.
Hey, Stevie, we appreciate it. We appreciate you flying the flag over there in the Emerald Isle. And if you ever make it over to the States, as it sounds like you're going to next year, we'll definitely get together and swap some stories, man. We appreciate you being a supporter of the show all that many miles away. And just keep on keeping on. Thanks for the call today, man.
Thank you.
You got it, brother. There you go, Tony. We told him, give us a call. He tweeted us a picture wearing the Jaguars Today t-shirt. That was awesome.
Good stuff.
Now, not the farthest call we've had. We had one from Australia. I want to say first week of the show.
Was that the second week? That was the guy in the ER.
The dude in the ER. He was in his hospital bed. I think he was out of the ER, but it was 1 o'clock in the morning, Australia time, 1:07, as
you
I
didn't
recall.
Believe him.
I said, what time is it right now? And he goes, what do you say? Seven past one in the morning. And either he had planned for that question, and he had figured out the time difference, because he was
still weirds me out.
He was right on.
That some guy in a hospital
was awesome.
In Australia, like he's like, I gotta kill. You know,
let me call these clowns in the States.
Yeah.
Talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that's phenomenal.
Amazing,
I mean, and honestly, all kidding aside, whether this has any impact on you or not, this is Shy-Con's kind of his vision. Make this the global team. More so, I don't know if Australia is in the crosshairs right now. That may have just been a happy coincidence, but guys like Stevie over there, pretty cool. Hey, I was 12 years old, thought the uniform looked good, and stuck with them ever since. And now, look, they're coming over to play a game every year.
How about that?
Kind of in my backyard. So,
love
it. Cool. All right, let's get more calls up, 641-1010. Let's get Jerome on the line next year on 1010XL. How you doing, Jerome?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, bud?
I'm torn between a B plus and maybe like a C, or a B minus and a C plus.
Okay.
On the Jags, on the grade. Mainly because they haven't been on the field yet. And until they produce on the field, it's kind of hard to give them an A. Ahead of time, but at least a B, maybe a C plus or so.
All right.
And
so, yeah.
I think what concerns me is going to be the offense. I'm excited about this year, but I think the offense, man, it just got so many questions on the offensive side.
I think I agree with you 100%. I was thinking about this on my drive home yesterday, that what do I feel most confident in this football team? And it's odd now, Tony, that I really think that front four.
Yep.
Could be really, really improved.
I think it may be the best unit on the team.
Maybe the best unit on the team, particularly, I think, in run stopping. As much as we all focus on pass rush, a guy like Red Bryant is going to set the edge and really eat up two guys on his side. He is, I think, more so than Chris Clements, who you're definitely going to have to account for. I think Red Bryant is going to make life easier for his teammates on the defensive line more than anybody on this team.
I completely agree. And if they got a guy like Red Bryant lined up next to Sendarik Marks, down in, down out, and they really liked what they got from Roy Miller when he was healthy enough to really play the position, and now you have Chris Clemens out there as well, Andre Branch another year in the system. He seems to be pretty comfortable with what they're asking him to do at this point. The depth that they have on that defensive line, and the starting four is better than anything they've had on that line in a long time here in Jacksonville. I really think that what they've done in this offseason may have made that front four the strongest unit on this team, and who would have thought that was even possible with what we've seen in the last half decade?
And I look to coincide with what, notice I didn't say dovetail, with what Jerome said a moment ago about the questions on the offense. There are pieces there, but boy, do a lot of things have to go right for that offense really quick. You got the two rookies who you're hoping for a big impact out of, who haven't been able to practice much at all, in Robinson and Lee, and you're going to be counting on them heavily. You hope Toby Gerhardt can handle the full-time workload.
Sure.
Hasn't done it in the National Football League. I believe he can, but until he does, let's find out. You hope Denard Robinson can take a terrific performance in non-contact OTAs and translate that to production when it actually matters. You hope that this retooled offensive line, that Luke Jokel is going to be the beast they expect him to be, that Beatles is on the high end of that range of the opinions of him, that those other guys from center over to the right side don't just implode. I mean, you just don't know. There's so many, there's many more question marks than there are answers on the offensive line right now.
No, there is, and they're all over the offense because they're going to be counting on young guys in the receiver core. They're going to be counting on Toby Gerhardt, who hasn't had this role in an NFL offense, and that's the difference between everything they did on offense and what they did on that defensive line. We know what kind of football player Red Bryant is. We know what kind of football player Chris Clemens is. And while they may not have done it in a Jaguar uniform yet, we've seen them at this level excel at what they are asked to do. And they're going to be asked to do the exact same thing here in this defense. So you have a better idea of what it's going to look like. On offense, look, it may be wonderful. We just don't know how everything's going to fit together yet.
All right, let's get back to the phone, 641-1010. Dean, you're up next on Jaguars Today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning. I'd like to give a little shout-out to the Jags. Now, on the player personnel side, I still think it's an incomplete because we're in a transition from Gene Smith's disaster. But on the business side, it's an AA+. I mean, these guys are first class. What they did Wednesday with the barbecue and talking to the president of ticket operations, I mean, you know, properly ordering enough food, from the standpoint of the draft party, I mean, I got a little special treatment down there. I mean, these guys are a first-class organization. And even 2 years ago when I was in Green Bay for the Jag game and Shad Khan coming down and doing a meet and greet to the few Jag fans that are up in Green Bay. So I just think we're on the right direction as far as the business side. I think the personnel side, they're moving, making the right moves. It's just going to be see how these players come together. But, you know, like you said earlier, that Babin situation, I mean, got to spend a little money to make money, but I think we're in the right direction. And their affiliation with your station, going away from all news, talk radio to an all sports station, that makes all the sense in the world. So,
well, thank you, man. Go ahead.
I just think these guys are just first class all the way, and hopefully the player personnel thing, pans out. But that's always a lot of variables, and but I think we got the right coach, Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell's first class all the way too.
Dean, appreciate the call. It's all love and bouquets for 1010XL 92.5 FM's affiliation until that emergency alert broadcast system goes off on 3rd and 12, and then the Spectre
completely out of our control.
It's funny. Brent Martin, it's so funny. I listened to him the other day. He's like, man, you would have think that I personally called Kelsey Grammer and asked him to play an episode of Cheers, instead. and Brett's like, that happened before I ever got here, and I never heard the end of it. So, we appreciate the kind words now and understand it won't be universal. We hope it is, but to understand the likelihood of that is probably going to be small. That's just the nature of the beast. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. JP Shadrick going to join us. We'll take a look at the Got Skills rookie camp going on today for a lot of kids in this area getting a chance to go out there and learn a little bit from this incoming rookie class of Jacksonville Jaguars. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Glad you're along with us, Jaguars, today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I got it, Ohio. Am I right?
Yes,
I'm right.
You did get it.
I got the theme of the day. We should make that a contest going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we will at some point. We'll have 16 contests. You'll all be vying for quarterfinal status, or what would that be? What comes before the quarterfinals? The eighth finals?
The regionals.
The region. All right, you'll be vying for Sweet 16 status on the Daily Jaguars Today t-shirt giveaway. It'll seem much more coveted that way, Tony. We don't send them to just any country, by the way.
We do, actually.
Do we? Have we sent one to Canada? Do we send one to Canada?
We have sent one to Canada.
So, I don't think we sent one to Australia, did we?
We did not.
We just took a
phone call from
Australia.
I don't think he's on Twitter.
All right.
Because he's busy in his bed.
Australia doesn't have Twitter yet.
He's recovering.
He's recuperating.
He's out there running wild, man.
He's going to get that bill. He's going to be like, I called who? In a state of what?
Spinner's like, we don't have time for Twitter in Australia. We're out living life. Right? Speaking of Spinner and the Jacksonville Axemen, Fat Tony, undefeated Axemen, home opener tomorrow.
Home opener tomorrow. I'll be down at the stadium.
Will you?
Doing some stadium voice stuff.
Oh, you're the PA guy now.
I'm the PA guy.
You're the PA guy for the Jacksonville Axemen. That'll be fantastic.
That'll be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Are you prepared? Have you been drilling for this?
No, not especially. Look, it's a brand new style of rugby, so I had Spinner try to explain it to me, and all I could pick up was that, look, I've gone to the rugby games before with the Axemen. This is not what we've seen before out there from these guys. It's a completely different style of rugby, and it's fast-paced. I'm looking forward to it.
Just if you avoid with and then passed it to the man, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they're going to put a former player up there with me so I don't sound like a complete jackass.
Gave it to the man, and then the man ran with it a little bit.
I believe you knock it on. You knock it.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
You don't that really, sounds right.
You don't pass, you knock. Because you can't just pitch it, you got to punch it.
Oh, you got to punch.
Yeah.
A punch or a pitch. You go with the punch.
I do believe.
In new school rugby.
I can confirm that they typically sell beer at those games.
They do for $2, Brooksy.
Exactly.
$2. I just named her Brooksy.
I've been called that before.
$2 Buds, I know they have down there. And they also added wine, I know, this year.
High class. Stepping it up.
They are very high class. Because that's what I picture usually.
You can knock it back.
Game. You can knock back whatever you like at an Axemen game.
Well, they knock it on.
They knock it on, knock it back, knock it in. They do whatever they have to do. The Jacksonville Axemen. So listen for Tony.
Yeah, I'll be out there.
Expanding his broadcast profile, and I love it. It's fantastic. All right, 641-1010. If you'd like to get in today, let's hear a little bit from Gus Bradley, who's on Jaguars Thursday last night, and talked about first of all the decision to let Jason Babin go yesterday.
I think it was a situation where, he came in and competed, and looking at these last couple mini camp practices, the numbers that we have there, And I think we just had to ask some tough questions about, you know, eventually, you know, the 53, you know, the guys that are going to be up on Sunday. So, you know, we feel that he still has some good games in him, some good, you know, he's got some really good play in him. As we were just juggling to try to find a way to get it done within our system, we felt like it was best to give him the opportunity to get out there and hook on with another team. Now, I don't know if there is ever a right time.
You know, and we talked about that a lot yesterday with Jason Babb, and that's the sense that we had of the situation. Gus Bradley confirmed it yesterday after practice, that the numbers game was going to leave somebody out, and at 34 years of age, to give him the opportunity with still maybe some production in there to go find another landing spot made sense to Babbin and the team, obviously, so they decided to let him go yesterday. Coach also, after practice, talked about preaching that consistent level of excellence with this team.
When I talked to the team today was about, you know, I think we play excellent football during OTAs and minicamp. I see high performance from our players. But what I talked to them about is I said, that's not what we're after. We're after football excellence. And there's a big difference there. Excellent football, you see high standards of play every once in a while. But football excellence is consistent high standard of play.
All right. You know, Gus, again, just to trying to create that mindset, I think, with this football team, you know, to think big picture, to think big thoughts, to think, you know, let's be excellent at everything we do. I know it sounds corny, and maybe it is corny, to be honest with you. If it doesn't yield results, that's ultimately what it might go down as one day, Tony, but it's the philosophy he believes in, and, you know, that's who you've got. And if they're going to have success, it's going to have success, they will have success under the vision, to use another Gus word, that he has for this football team and the way they're going to conduct their business. Talked about Blake Bortles, obviously, a lot over the last month plus. And one of the things, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday was Blake coming up to the podium after practice and just saying, hey, look, wasn't too good. Didn't have a good day. And being able to be critical of himself and not whitewash it. Gus talked about that aspect of Blake.
You know, like we talked about, you got to have humility so you identify your weaknesses. But you don't want to be not. I think he shows confidence. Mm-hmm. He's very confident in his abilities, and he understands, you know what? I didn't get this done. So I have to take responsibility from that, get it corrected, and move on. So to me, he shows great confidence in saying it. I think if it came across where he lacked confidence and he was, you know, it affected his play, that's a concern. But that's not how Blake is.
Honestly, I think Blake's been fine with what we've seen from him on the field. I think that there's been two examples of him excelling away from the field. Not only a couple days ago being willing to be honest about his performance on the field, but when Gus Bradley had to stop practice a couple weeks ago on a Monday and bring everybody in and talk to them about it, that Blake Bortles, on his own, went to his head coach's office and said, look, I didn't bring it during that practice today. I got to be better. I know that. That he took his own time to go do something like that and face the music. Now, look, you don't want your quarterback having press conferences saying, yeah, I suck today and I need to go to the coach's office because of how bad I was in practice.
But look at my honesty.
Right, but you do like the honesty of a guy who's trying to learn how to play the position at this level and being willing to take those lessons with some kind of humility now. Maybe that pays dividends for him and the team down the road. It's got to be better than it has been on the field, and I think it will be when he finally gets comfortable with this thing. And we talked about Gus Bradley answered the question yesterday about the defensive side of the ball. We said the front four may be the best unit on the team. He talked about the strides that they've made on the defensive side of the ball this offseason.
You know, I think they're developing a personality, and they're gaining confidence in one another. And when you see plays like that or see emotion like that, I think everybody's starting to, you know, understand what their job is. And then it transfers over to that. So you want a defense that plays for that. That's good. I do think that we did show, like I said before, signs of excellent football. It's just that consistency, you know. But I feel like we're a more mature team than we were last year. So we expect greater strides in that area next in training camp.
All right, finally, work is done for now. The work never ends, Tony. But you know what I mean, the on-field stuff as far as the team being together until training camp. What was the message Gus sent the guys off with?
And we mentioned it a couple of days ago, too, but today, about protect the team, make decisions that are good decisions, that, you know, always know that, you know, your decisions affect the whole team.
Don't be an idiot. Don't get arrested. Preferably don't do something that would get you arrested in the first place, but if you do, don't get caught. That was my words, Tony. there's a kernel of truth in that. That was not Gus Bradley's message, by the way. Just, you know, don't put yourself in those positions. And that's what every coach is hoping they get out of their team over the next month plus. So let's get a quick phone call in. This Dayton football history, Jaguars Today pop quiz coming your way in minutes here, as well as we'll hear from Cecil Shorts. Tony caught up with him in the locker room after practice yesterday. Terrence on the line right now on 1010XL. What's up, Terrence? How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Fat Tony. Hey. Mike, and Fat Tony, I did it in six categories, but I can be real quick. The business side, I got an A-plus for him. Head coach, I got an A. General manager, B.
B, okay.
Downgrading him. Offense, D. Defense, B. Special teams, I. Incomplete. And overall grade, C.
Overall grade, C. Okay. You let that offense really drag him down, didn't you, man? That D, you weighted that D pretty heavily. Why a D on offense, Terrence?
I think it's just so many holes. One thing was discouraging is that they rotated Luke Joker out of left tackle, and they put Bradfield on there running with the ones.
Yeah, that all that is, if any reps that Bradfield gets with the ones at Luke Joker's expense is saving wear and tear on Luke Joker's body. That's all that is, Terrence.
Okay. All right, well, on the right side, at right tackle, they pull Pastor and put Young in there.
And I think it's the same thing. I think, you know, you got Pastor coming back from injury. I think you're just trying to get these young guys reps. They've got to determine if Pastor gets hurt or Joku gets hurt, who is it Young? Is it Bradfield? Which one of these guys can play at a competent NFL level? Who are we going to trust? And the only way to really see that is to get them, I think, some reps with the ones. I don't think either of those guys' jobs are in the slightest bit of jeopardy. Certainly not Jokel's. Not one iota. And I think, you know, from everything we've heard, Pastor is locked in on the right side as well. So, I wouldn't focus too much on seeing a handful of different guys get reps at the surefire starters' expenses.
Well, it was just kind of hard. I understand rotating the defensive line. That, you know, I think the defense is pretty solid. You know, with Red Bryant, I think they had him playing, which was different. I think he was playing like the five technique outside. So they had Roy Miller and Sendarek inside. So.
Which is how it'll be.
Yeah. Which was cool. And Red can move. He's for a big guy. He can move really well.
He almost ran me over, 2 days ago at practice.
Yeah. So that's my grade on him. So.
All right. Terrence, I appreciate it, man. Hey, look, we're not looking for a whitewash A's across the board. Grade them however you like. And if you want to break it into categories, I think that's a fair way to do it as well. But that, Tony, that kind of thing doesn't bother me at all. You're going to see some of these guys that you know are not the first string getting reps with the first team. And that's in part why they don't want people reporting on the 11-on-11 portion of practice, in part because they are experimenting with different combinations. And you're going to see guys in there, and you're going to say, wait a minute, Blake's getting reps with the ones. Is he pushing Chad Henne out of the job? No, they're trying to put guys in different situations,
sure,
see how they respond to it, and it's not necessarily indicative of some big change that's about to happen in the starting lineup.
No, they got a bunch of guys. They want to see how versatile they may be, so in case, you know, they have a guy that needs to play right guard that usually plays right tackle. It'd be nice to know that you saw him do that and know that he can. If you get put in that kind of situation, it makes a lot of sense.
At least as much as you can know in a non-contact.
Sure. And I'm sure they'll do the same thing when we get to camp a little bit, too.
Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac only a step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. See, it would have been so much easier to start with this one right out of the gates, Tony. I guess that would have given it away. Like a simple thing.
She don't
like
want to
me.
Give it away early.
No, she didn't want to give it away early. Today's theme is Ohio. Mike Brewster, Cecil Shorts hailing from Ohio. We're going to hear from both of those gentlemen.
Yes, we will.
And Brewster's actually from Orlando, but he played football in Ohio. So that's where, and obviously Cecil played for Mountain Union. So that's
good
where
enough.
He came from.
Good
yeah,
enough.
I just want to make sure people know that I know that.
All right. Why is it Mike Brewster at the Oviedo caravan tonight?
Because he is in, where did he tell you he was going, Tony? To Chicago to visit his brother.
See, Chicago. You could have teased that, and we could have all found out together. coming up in 45 minutes.
That's right. Keep listening, and you'll find out why he's not in Oviedo.
My Brewster's locale this weekend. All right, time for this.
And now, this date in football history.
Oh, it's greatly anticipated every single day. This date in football history is brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Tony, on this date in football history, back in 1994, 20 years ago, O.J. Simpson pled innocent, pled not guilty, whatever the case may be. A plea was entered on O.J.'s behalf, I'm guessing at an arraignment of some sort. Sure. We had the White Bronco chase anniversary a couple of days ago.
That was the 17th. This is really quick.
Right. I mean, to turn around and have a guy in front of a judge pleading anything seems pretty fast. But fortunately, I don't really know what the timetable is in the legal system. I've yet to be in that position. And hopefully, if Gus's message sticks with me over the next 5 or 6 weeks, I'll keep myself out of those circumstances.
Absolutely.
Also today, Tony, on this date in 1999, Lawrence Phillips. Oh, man of high character that he was, became the first NFL Europe player to rush for more than 1,000 yards in a season. Tony, brings us to today's Jaguars Today pop quiz.
Oh no!
I'm not going to ask you the all-time leading rushers in NFL Europe. However, I am going to ask you to name as many of the franchises in NFL Europe as you possibly can. You can phone a friend. Which would have to be, in this case, Lauren Brooks, because Fortunato has left the room, okay, at some point if you get stuck, and Lauren can give her best guess.
I'm pretty sure I only know one.
One? How do you only know one NFL Europe franchise?
Oh, I don't know how it escaped me.
All right, I tell you what, if you get stuck, I'll give you the city, and then you'll have to come up with the
I'm pretty sure it was the Rhine Fire.
The Rhine Fire, ladies and gentlemen.
And that one's pretty easy to remember.
Fortunato's so upset because it's the one he knew. It's the one he knew. You know more of these, I guarantee you.
I might.
Tony. The Rhine Fire played from 95 to 2002 in Rhine Stadium, Dusseldorf. And then they continued on in various other locales, but basically from 95 to 2007, they were with NFL Europe the entirety of the way.
Total guess. How about London Monarchs?
The London Monarchs. That's not a guess. The London slash England Monarchs right there played at times in Wembley, but not always in Wembley. They played in different spots. They were from 91 again through
98.
Through 98, yeah. They're not around that long, so...
There's one that matches with my theme. There's your hint, boys.
Ohio?
Well, actually, actually, because the World League of American Football...
Is there a Buckeye?
...is what the NFL Europe came out of.
Was
okay?
It is it Dublin something?
What is that? Dublin, Ohio? Yeah. Oh, you're thinking. He's thinking on multiple levels right here.
That's impressive.
But that's incorrect. Nonetheless, what Lauren's referring to, there actually was an American, North American branch of the World League of American Football. They had a few NFL, they had a few European teams, then a bunch of teams in North America. It was supposed to be a spring league, and ultimately the American team shut down. It all migrated, it all became NFL Europe. But there, some of those original franchises in the World League of American Football carried on. Guess?
Berlin, I thought, was the Thunder.
Berlin Thunder! Are you really doing on something?
No, this is off the top of my head.
That's good. Berlin Thunder was, I thought, one of the more obscure ones.
Was there an Amsterdam team?
There was an Amsterdam team. Joe, you figure
it's not
going
to have anything to do with
Fortunato's
drugs.
Like, I think there was a team in Amsterdam when I was there, but it's hazy right now.
It's a little smoky.
I'm sure they were red, right?
Yeah, something with the red lights of Amsterdam.
Oh, you know what one I remember? Because I like the mascot. What city was it?
Just give me the mascot.
The Dragons. Barcelona, maybe?
Barcelona Dragons. Very nice. Tony, see, you're coming on now. Barcelona Dragons right there. Amsterdam was the Admirals.
No.
Okay, but you had the Amsterdam. So you had Amsterdam Admirals. You had the Barcelona Dragons. You hit the London Monarchs, the Rhine Fire. Berlin, did we say Berlin?
The Thunder.
Thunder, yeah. Frankfurt, come on. They're like the most well-supported team over there. They had the best attendance annually, it seemed.
Galaxy.
Frankfurt Galaxy. There you go. Scottish.
Claymores.
The Scottish Claymores. Nice job, Joe Fortunato. Only a couple more.
I'm so impressed.
These were a little, to me, I don't know if I'd ever heard of these other ones. Mm-hmm. Cologne. Who was the Cologne
entry?
No, thanks.
Entry?
No idea.
It smell good.
It's a mystery to me. The Cologne Centurions.
Good. Oh.
Never heard of them. Played from 2004 to 2007. And Hamburg.
They were a late team.
They were a late addition. And Hamburg played from 2005 to 2007.
I like this mascot.
Hamburg was the Sea Devils. Because when you think of Hamburg, what do you think of? Yeah. Well, I think of Sea Devils, mostly. And then, maybe hamburgers.
Just call
after
them the
that.
Ers, yeah.
But
the Hamburgers.
If you look at NFL Europe attendance, average attendance, everyone talk about all the booming popularity over there. Average attendance of NFL Europe throughout the late 90s into up through 2007 is in the high teens, like 17,000, 18,000 people, all that. So, you know, it's one thing when you've got the real thing, when you've got the NFL, the top product, and they're playing one game a year over there. It's another when they had to support a team year-round or season-long, attendance certainly lagging, but level of play certainly lagging as well. By the way, the American entries in the World League of American Football, the Birmingham Fire, the Montreal Machine, the New York, New Jersey Knights, the Ohio Glory, that was the one Lauren was referring to, the Raleigh-Durham Skyhawks, everyone remembers them fondly from the one season in 91, the Orlando Thunder, about that, the Sacramento Surge, and the San Antonio Riders. Had I given you that list and said WNBA or World League of American Football, you would have had no idea.
Probably not.
No idea. Nor would anyone
Sacramento
else
Surge, that's awful.
Sacramento Surge. That's like a soccer name, isn't it?
That's a terrible
FC
name.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
some nonsense like that. All right, this date in football history, presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, and at the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, their mission, simply to fabricate and install the highest quality product for you at a competitive price, while providing unsurpassed customer service. You know fencing is an investment in your home or your business. You know your family's going to feel protected. You're going to breathe easier knowing that the Best Fence Company installed your new fence. Best Fence provides professional free estimates at your convenience. So call them today at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. For more information, Cecil Shorts with Fat Tony after practice yesterday. Here we go.
Here with Cecil Shorts, and first of all, Denard's got his new shoes over here. Can you please describe the shoes for everyone?
He said he done saying he done playing. That's what he said. But those were shoes I think Adidas sent him from. Probably like some special shoe, some Snoop Lion or something like that. So, you know, Denard's big time, so he gets special things like that.
If this was the regular season, we're getting ready for games, you feel like you could have been ready to go a week and a half ago? Or
It wasn't that frustrating. You know what I mean? I think I'm in a good place right now. You know what I mean? As a whole, my body feels very, very good. I've been working my butt off. So I'm in a good place. I wouldn't say it was frustrating. Of course, I want to go out there and compete. I love to compete and play against the team and, you know, just push each other to get better. But I wasn't frustrated at all.
You've been out there with the young guys, too. I can see you in the huddle trying to coach a little bit during this time that you haven't been able to be on the field. Is that a role that you took on yourself? Did the coaches talk to you about that at all?
Nah, I just go out there and just try to help my teammates. That's all. You know, a lot of young guys are in there. I know how it feels to be a rookie with a new offense. And then we got a couple guys that came in, like, you know, a week or two ago. Not sure what's going on. So I try to give them little tips and pointers and, you know, help them out when I can. So
Jason Babin gets cut earlier today. As a veteran, you know, these things happen. It's part of the business of the NFL. But what was your reaction to that?
Babin was a professional. He was good to us here. He produced on the field. He was a cool guy to have in the locker room. You know, we wish him nothing but the best with his career moving forward. But, you know, that's part of the business. The sad part of the business ends up happening to everybody sooner or later. So, you know, his time is today, but I'm sure somebody will pick him up soon. And he still got some juice left in the tank, even though, you know, some people think he's older in age. I still think he looked good in practice and stuff. So he's definitely professional, and I gained a lot of respect for him when he was here.
Got a month off now. What are the plans for the next month?
I'm just sitting on my butt and eat ice cream. I don't think I'm doing too much. Of course, work out with some of the guys down here. We got a couple quarterbacks staying here. And then we got a few receivers staying here as well. So we're going to get together and work out. Get some balls thrown, and then the July 6th to the 11th, we're going to head down to Minnesota and work out with Larry Fitzgerald down in Minnesota. So it'll be a good off season for us. Gain some chemistry and bond a little bit together.
And for you, heading into a contract year, does anything change for you to this point, this off season, heading into training camp, and now that you're the number one too, does that change the way that you approach a season at all?
No, I approach every season the same. Like, I got to make the team. That's my goal, is to go out there and make the team. You know, I think I had some goals in mind of what I would like to achieve, you know, just be a better overall player. But no, my approach doesn't change because of the contract year or, you know, I'm a veteran in the room. I'm going to still approach it the same way and have fun.
In 10 seconds, just talking to the fans of Jacksonville, what would you want to say?
Just appreciate their support, love their support. It's been tough, but it's a bright future ahead for us. You know, Dave and Gus and the Mercer coaching staff got this train rolling, so it's exciting.
Another great entry into the 10 seconds archive. I love it. I'm serious.
We'll get one more today.
I'm looking forward to the compilation. It's coming because I think by the end of summer, we may be able to take a day off and just play a compilation of 10 seconds, and I'd really like that. This is a tweet from James Bannon, at James_Bannon82. Said, didn't even know there was an NFL Europe. Crazy. I don't think he's trying to be sarcastic. You know, you just assume everybody knows everything about everything. NFL Europe only folded like 7 years ago. Wasn't that long ago. But yeah, there are all these teams over there that they try to turn into kind of a feeder system somewhat for the National Football League. It worked on a limited basis. Certainly Kurt Warner thinks it worked, and a few other notable alumni from over there. All right, we will talk next with J.P. Shadrick. Jags rookies on the field right now with some kids getting them ready for their upcoming seasons with a skills camp, the Got Skills Rookie Challenge going on today, a rookie clinic. So we'll talk about that, plus what JP's up to with Jaguars Thursday, Jaguars.com live, inside the Jags, and a whole lot more. That's coming up. Jaguars Today continues on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue on. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined now by J.P. Shadrick, jack-of-all-trades, master of many.
I feel like I was just in the studio last night from 6 to 7 for Jaguars Thursday. I might have been.
You're in the studio quite a bit. It used to be yours.
No, it's everybody.
Welcome
we
back
share
to the Jaguars Today studio.
It's great to be back in you guys' studio and here in the stadium, and we've got a busy day coming up today.
They've tidied up the window behind you, by the way. Do you notice the trim is all nice now?
Yeah, they trimmed the carpet on the walls here. We've got a nice view of Joe Fortunato's new office and the Roar Pro Bowl Wall of Honor in the hallway. That's not a bad view.
It's not a bad place to be located right now.
Taking down the Roar calendar. Like, they've done it again to put up that whiteboard.
Where did it go?
I don't know.
By the way, it was up there. Now they've got Loggeman's whiteboard back up on the wall. They don't need that.
We've got to talk to somebody about this.
Joe might have taken it to his office.
That's probably a good place to look for it, Tony. Today we've got the Got Skills Rookie Camp, 11th annual.
That's correct. Yeah, 11 in a row. So most of the rookie class will be here. I think there's one or two exceptions that are not here today, but there's over 250, close to 300 kids that have signed up for this skills camp. Basically, they run drills in the field for a couple of hours. The rookies help them through it, and it's one of the first chances for a lot of the rookies to really interact with outside of camp folks in public and kids in public here in Jacksonville. So it's been a wildly popular event here for a long time, 11 years running, and another one today.
So what kind of challenges are the kids going to be put through today?
Well, they'll have to hear me host the event. That's the first challenge. That's one. No, they're just regular football drills. They got pads. They run. They jump on I don't know all the terminology. They run through pads. They get the high and tight drill. Guys are hitting the ball at them. They run through pads. And they jump on another pad. They do the 40-yard dash. They do all the.
I'm guessing nobody's catching a punt out of a jugs machine.
Probably not. No, at 90 miles an hour, I'm not going to turn it up all the way and see what happens. So, you know, like combine type activities for the kids, and they can keep their own score and whatever they do. So it's just pretty good.
Just trying to once again connect with the fan base, connect with the community. They've had some of these bad events would go going on for over a decade now, but you know, more along the lines of what this administration is kind of putting forth.
And I remember last year on Jaguars.com, we ended up miking up Denard Robinson. He was a rookie last year during this event. I don't know if we're going to do that this year, but it was interesting to just kind of see him work the crowd and see how different guys interact, because it's funny, you get a different idea of guys when they're around 300 kids, you know.
It's doubt. And cool, Denard, you know, for his sake, has been, I think, one of the stars of OTAs.
Oh,
if
no
there
doubt.
Is such a thing, you know, at this time with no contact going on, the pass catchers are going to stand out the most, and that's where he has shined, in his role as a pass catcher coming out of the backfield in the parts of practice that we're able to
remember. Well, hell, there's nobody else to catch passes around here. They're all hurt.
That's a good point. But that's a good point.
He better be good at it.
He's making the most of all of his opportunities, it looks like.
I think so. And it seems like he might be fully healthy. He might have had some nerve stuff last year. Remember at Michigan, he had to change the position and go to running back. He couldn't hold the thing. There might have been some layover with that. He's not going to use that as an excuse. He never would. But, well, it's pretty obvious. The ball's not on the field right now, and that's good
what's
news.
What's wrong, by the way, with using that? If you're,
that's
like,
what
your
I'm saying.
Arm doesn't work properly for you to enable you to catch
I can't feel
the ball.
Like, if he had said that, we would have been like, oh.
That seems like a legitimate reason as opposed to an excuse. An excuse has such a negative connotation.
Right. Sure.
You know?
But he's fighting through this year and seems to be a lot, you know, obviously a lot stronger up top. And we'll see. I think it's still a work in progress with him, but they like where he is. They like where his head is. They like where he is physically, and we'll see what happens come late July.
What is your impression, since they're going to be out there on the field with the kids this afternoon, to this point, of the personality of this rookie class coming in with the Jags?
They seem pretty businesslike for me. I mean, last year's group had Denard Robinson, you know, it had, and Jokel's a pretty businesslike guy, and he tried to open up a little bit early, but he just wants to play football. That's
Ace has got that big personality.
Ace has a big personality. Last year's class had just a few more characters in it, I think. I haven't got to know these guys a lot yet. We're doing a series coming up on Jaguars.com called Rookie 101, where we sit them down in a one-on-one environment and talk about off-the-field stuff. So you hear about their first little league team as a kid and what it was and their first memory and their family and the first car, and that gets them to open up a little bit. We have a handful of them done. We're doing the rest of them next week, so we'll get a better idea then. But just from what I've dealt in the locker room and stuff, there's not as many characters, you know, strong, huge characters, guys that are here and they want to perform right away, and they know they might have to, and I think they're ready to play.
I think you want that CEO type personality a little bit with your quarterback. Yeah. You know, you want that guy that at least gives off the impression that he eats, sleeps, and drinks football. I think Marquise Lee has a little personality.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting it out of him, I think. You got to get to know him a little bit. He's going on the caravan stop on Saturday in Daytona, so we'll have a chance on the bus to kind of catch up with him.
Last night was Palm Coast.
That's right.
Tonight's Oviedo.
Oviedo, yes.
Any Blake Bortles fans in attendance tonight?
I don't know. They might boo him out of town down there for leaving early. No, it'll be him, Storm Johnson, and Cecil Shorts III tonight in Oviedo. Tomorrow in Daytona, Port Orange, exactly, is Lee and Robinson, Allen Robinson, and Zane Beatles, too. So that'll be a good one. Next Thursday at Brunswick, I don't think they have the players set up for that one yet. And then Friday in Tallahassee at the Miller's Ale House there. So, and I'm sure there'll be a few Seminoles at that one, the former Seminoles.
Now, I've heard, and this wasn't at kids' camp, but I've heard that with some of these camps that they put some adults through, that some of the coaches will tell them when they think they sucked or weren't so good at a particular drill. That's not going to be going on with these kids, is it?
I don't think so. That would be a little harsh there, Tony. Man.
I mean, high and tight! They'll yell at him. High and tight!
Do it again!
Yep.
Kid. No, I don't think it's anything.
Another
like
old
that.
Competition. Come on, kids. Let's pick it up a little bit.
No, it's a good interaction. This should be a really, really good day. This should be a really hot day. But it will be good for these kids to get out.
All right, among your roles here, hosting Inside the Jaguars, Jaguars.com Live, Jaguars Thursday last night, you and Logman had the coach on.
We did.
As he, you know, saw everything he's going to see from OTA's rookie minicamp, regular minicamp, what was his final takeaway from it?
You know, I think the same thing he said in his post-practice presser yesterday, he kind of reiterated, you know, at times he sees excellent football. You know, he sees some good offense, the ball moving down the field, some solid plays here and there. But he wants to see a different standard, football excellence. And he tried to define that again last night. And it's where everything's going well and it's like a pipeline. Everything just, there's just an aura around everything. And that's not there yet. There's something to that. A little bit of that might come. He's hoping to see that a little more come late July and into August when the training camp rolls around. So he spent a little time just kind of rehashing that last night. While he was grilling brats on his back porch at home, which was nice.
Why not?
Because
summer.
It's the first day off.
Just
and,
about.
But that was the main general consensus I got of that from him was, yeah, they're doing some good things right now. And there's a lot of positive right now. But there's always something next. You know, there's always something above that. And as you guys know Gus well, he never wants to be satisfied with just a good mini camp. There's always something better and that was the feel of last night's interview.
Well, they seem to have one bad practice a week from this team during this period here in the last month or so. They always came back and responded after they had that bad practice. But you could see from Coach Bradley's perspective where they're preaching consistency. And if they're still getting one day a week where they're like, where are these guys right now? You can see where he would be a little bit frustrated. We're not there yet. And that seems to be what he was talking about last night.
And I think he felt like they finished on a pretty good note yesterday.
Yeah.
And they stopped practice early just to get them out of there. He said the defense had a great day yesterday. And so I think he was happy with how things ended. You're right. There were a couple of days where it was not as ideal as you would like on the practice field. But for the most part, it's a group that has been able to bounce back. It's an OTA practice, though.
Sure.
It's shorts and shirts, and you know, that's about it.
But by the same token, we do hear coaches that say, you know, don't like the draft being pushed back. We have less time to work with these guys. You've got X amount of days in OTAs, right? You take the approach, and a lot of coaches do it around the National Football League. You cut it short some days. You cancel it for quote-unquote team building, which, you know, I think players appreciate, but is there... Are you maximizing, in your opinion, just watching this team? You've been through a few off seasons. Are you maximizing your time on the field? Do those kind of things almost ahead of time? They're kind of built in mentally. Well, we know we have this many. We're probably, if they work hard, we're going to cut them a break, and it will actually pay dividends because we're taking it easy on them down the road.
I think your question was: should they work all 10 OTAs and all 3 mini camp days all the way through two hours and 40 minutes and just enforce all that to get better.
Yeah, well,
is that the question?
Sure, absolutely.
On paper, you could do that, sure. I mean, you could, by the CBA, yeah, that's why it's in there, because you have to have that certain time. But in reality, I mean, they're human beings, too, you know? And that's, if he feels that going to the bowling alley for 2 hours is going to help his team better than sweating it out here in June for another 2 hours when they got better the day before, and they might be ahead of schedule on some things. You know, why not? Change it up. You know, not everybody's like that, of course.
Well, I'm going to say, I mean, you can go bowling today.
It's fine.
You know, you can go bowling tomorrow. You only have X
not as,
amount of OTA practice.
But you can't do that as a team unit together because
you could,
they can't
not?
Tell them where to go.
You can't tell them. You could ask. OTAs are voluntary. They show up for that.
And force them to all roll
that's
a game.
A quote,
everybody
voluntary.
But the coach had to roll a game. What's up with that?
Anyway.
He bows out
you
of bowling.
Oh, I bowl like a champion, yes. I used to be in a league.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I used to be. I'm not anymore.
I don't know, man. I
bowl
like
when I was in my prime in the Jack Scene Beach Bowl League a few years ago when we won the league, by the way, I was in the high 190s a lot of times, right around 200 if I was really on.
He is so glad we went down this line of questioning right now.
I did a bowling
league. I still have the T-shirt.
For 1 year, too. I was in a league for 1 year, and my average was 183.
That's pretty good.
Gave it up for foot golf.
No, I gave it up because they lied to me about the length of the season. Like, I joined the league in the summer, and I was still there on, like, we did it on Sunday nights. It was a church thing, and it ran all the way through football season. So I'm in there during Sunday night football. I'm like, are you people serious? This started in June. This needs to be done and over with. And, I said, nope, not doing this again next year.
Taking my 183 and I'm going home.
Well, I had to move to bowling because, I don't know if you know the Jack Scene folks, when I first moved here, like in 2006, I'm trying to get out and meet some people, you know, so I started joining this league. And, hey, it's a dodgeball league. This will be cool, right? So I'm on this team, we're playing dodgeball, and it's this one team we keep playing, and I can't remember the name of the team. And for some reason, I'm like the last guy out there on our team that game. and I whiz this ball. The guy ducks in front of this girl, and it hits this girl right in the side of the face. And the whole team wants to fight me. And they run me out of the game. And the girl's standing out of bounds. She's behind the back line. She's physically out of bounds. She's out of the rules of the game, but the referee was too scared to overturn the call. They run me out. So a few weeks later, we're playing that team again. What happens?
They all team up on
you. No, another guy ducks. I hit another girl in the head. Same team. So they didn't invite me back to the league. I had to go bowling.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're going to show up and play dodgeball, you might get hit with the ball.
Is that like a low point?
How about dodging the ball?
Yeah. You could try.
Is that like a low point of your athletic career to not be invited back to a dodgeball league?
I was the enforcer of our team. Okay? I didn't mess with us anymore.
I
have
to say he was the last one on the court. For some reason, my superior dodgeball skills. All right, we got to wrap it up. JP, today, by the way, through the miracle of radio, is taking place the Got Skills Rookie Challenge right now, as a matter of fact.
That's
so
freaky, man.
That's crazy.
How about that?
Hope you're enjoying your time out on the field right
Jimmy
now.
Jimmy John's freaky fast.
All right, will there be a wrap-up on Jaguars.com, like some video?
Yeah, we're going to have we'll turn a package on it probably today, real quick after the event today. So look for it this afternoon on Jaguars.com.
All right, and the road tour, the caravan, JP and the crew are going down to Oviedo tonight, Port Orange. Tomorrow, have fun with that, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks.
By.
Good to see you guys.
There you go. We'll see you on the pages of Jaguars.com and many other locales. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday continues, back with more Jaguars today, live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. You get all that, Lauren?
I don't know.
All right, we were singing away the breaks here at the Jaguars Today studio. Might have to do a lot of that in the weekend.
We got an album coming out soon. It'll be
Fortunato is producing it on his new record label. Not sure what that's entitled, but
live from Everbank Field.
Live from the bank. There you go. With Joe and the boys. That's what we'll call that. We did a little Rapper's Delight with a little Chic. What else? They're playing Freak Out yesterday at Prague. I think it was yesterday. Right before
that called it.
Yeah, before you got out there.
I walked out.
Tony's worried I'm going to ask him to sing.
No, Joe and I were walking out to practice when the three horns sounded. I was like, well.
Glad you could make it.
Yep.
Glad you could make it. Today, Tony, the Tom Bush family of dealerships asking fans what drives you on a daily basis. Today, we asked them, seemingly timely, I thought,
sure.
As the off-season work wrapped up yesterday. You've seen the draft. You've seen free agency. You've seen them re-sign some of their own guys prior to free agency. You've seen some guys let go, like Jason Babin. You've seen a rookie minicamp. You've seen a veteran minicamp. You've seen OTAs. You've seen all that stuff. Undrafted free agents that have come in, the injuries. Assign some grades to the work that the Jags have done in the offseason, and you've got a chance to score a Jaguars Today t-shirt. So, on Twitter,
yeah,
what did we get?
And we got Mike Brewster coming up here in a couple minutes as
Yes,
well,
we do correct? Have Mike Brewster coming up.
From Ocho Fisho, we got solid B, no holdouts, no off-field BS, no major injuries, team getting faster. From Stevie, given that I didn't actually get to answer the question, this would be our Irish Jag.
Sorry, Stevie.
B+, all positive. All still potential, hashtag Jaguars Today.
I was excited. We don't get called from Ireland every show.
No, we don't.
That was awesome.
Brandon,
I lost myself.
We got an A. Great draft. Very nice free agent signings. If they can cut Babin and feel comfortable doing it, they must be confident. Hashtag Jaguars Today. From Jason, their offseason grade is an A++++++ because they started a show called hashtag Jaguars Today.
Yeah.
From Eric, B- because of injuries to wide receivers, unknowns about quarterbacks, great draft and free agency, but still needs work. Hashtag Jaguars Today. From Paul, I give them an A. We've gone from no depth to the point where we're actually releasing good players. Hashtag Jaguars Today. From Jason, I don't think this regime has made a poor decision since they got here. A+. We are still in the happy season. Hashtag Jaguars Today. And finally, from Ben, he gives them a B, only because he's not sold on the offensive line. I love the added speed and direction Caldwell is taking this team. Hashtag Jaguars Today.
All right, Facebook.com/Jaguars Today, sampling of some of the responses. They get a little wordier here because they're not limited to 140 characters
sure.
or less. We still appreciate Hashtag Jaguars Today on Facebook, and you got a better chance to get yours read. Clint Alton said, They get an A. They drafted a quarterback they said they liked. They filled needs through the draft in the wide receiver department. Got a steal for Aaron Colvin and Telvin Smith. Beefed up the defense in free agency. Had absolutely a great move in able to sign Zane Beatles. Also included Dave Caldwell in this grade for being able to create a buzz among the fans and for getting the national media talking about the Jags. One of the best off seasons the Jags have ever had. Hashtag free shirts are great. Hashtag best show on the air. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Sweet.
We can be sucked up to. We can be pandered to. Speaking of which, Joel Swan said they get an A for me. Solid draft filled with a lot of future potential. Signs of great free agents. Move their weekly broadcast to 1010XL, the best radio station ever. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag t-shirt pandering. Hashtag Lauren Brooks rocks.
Oh.
Oh! How about that? And finally from David Phillips.
They didn't expound upon that? That's
no.
All they said?
I mean, does that need expounding upon?
I'm just kidding.
Tell us more, Joel. Monday's question will be, how much does Lauren Brooks rock and why? I give
Please
him a C, says David Phillips. We just have to wait to see if these guys, we thought they were. Hashtag Jaguars today. Well, granted, Tony, with acknowledging everything's an incomplete until maybe years down the road.
Sure.
See how the draft class comes out. I think if you do split it, I think the business side, the buzz they've created for a product that has won 6 games in the last 2 seasons combined, 6-26, is phenomenal. It's unbelievable how well they've been able to create a buzz for a team that has not had very much on-field success at all
sure.
in that period of time. So from that standpoint, A+. I mean, just great, the stuff they're doing with the stadium. You roll the whole thing together. You try not to be, I think, just blindly positive. At least I do. Clearly, they're happy with their draft. They drafted players they thought were good. They haven't been proven wrong on anybody yet. They haven't had a chance to be proven wrong on anybody yet. I think the whole thing, I'm not going to downgrade him for taking a swing and a miss at Alex Mack. They could have either signed him to a sheet and not gotten him like they did, or they could have not signed him to a sheet and guess what? Still not gotten it.
Sure.
So they took a swing and a miss with him. And I don't think that's a negative. I don't know. I think it's overall probably a B. I don't think it's, you know, it's perfect. You draft a couple of guys who certainly aren't going to help you this year. Not that that's necessarily a negative, but we're looking for, you know, this moment, this kind of impact. This year's got to be about more wins. I don't know. I think somewhere in a B range is pretty fair. I don't think there's too many glaring negatives to downgrade them for.
About 3 months ago, you, Martino, and I did a Top 5 Friday where we were basically labeling the top 5 needs for this team going into the offseason outside of quarterback. We didn't include quarterback because that should probably be number one on everybody's
obvious.
List at that time. So if I go back and look at that list that I had, and you include quarterback in the equation, what they did at QB this offseason, I give them a B because we don't know what Bortles is going to be. As far as offensive line, again, we don't really know what it's going to look like, but I think they did what they could.
They addressed it.
With what was available to them. So I give them probably a B, maybe a B minus somewhere in that area for what they did on the offensive line. Outside linebacker, and for me that was as much about speed as anything else. I think they have addressed that position. I give them a B plus for what they did there. And the defensive line, which I think they knocked out of the park.
Yeah, that could be an A.
Which I'll give them an A for that, and if you include what they did off the field as far as the business side of things, I think you give them an A. I think it's a strong B for me. Closer to a B plus, but it's a good off season for this team, and it's so rare to be as bad as they were for most of last year and have momentum in an off season.
Organizational momentum.
Like it's crazy that they've been able to keep this wave going this long with how bad it was at times last year.
The fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, including Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. You can visit TomBush.com for more information the next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. And, of course, we encourage you to follow them on Twitter as well, at Tom Bush Motors. There you go, giving you a look at what some of your thoughts were on the offseason. Now, speaking of that offensive line, one upgrade that they hope comes from within is Mike Brewster. Spent a lot of time pumping iron, building his body up, rehabbing from injury, and right now looks firmly entrenched as your starting center for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony had a chance to talk to him yesterday.
Here with Mike Brewster, center for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And look, you're done with the off-season part of things. You got the 4 weeks off. First of all, what are you doing with the next month?
I'm actually going to visit my brother in Chicago this weekend. And then on Sunday, I'm headed to Phoenix to train with my trainer, LeCharles Bentley, for about 4 weeks. So it's usually where I go in the off season, but, you know, with the broken ankle this year, I stayed around here in rehab. So it'll be good to get out there.
For you, was it different coming into mini camp and this off season, knowing that you're going to be given the opportunity to be the starting center for this team?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, used to having Brad here, so... you know, you just got to take a bigger burden and do all the little things and, you know, always be on top of everything because, you know, if someone needs to know something, you know, they need to be able to ask, you know, any of the centers. So, you know, the centers always need to be on top of everything.
What kind of lessons do you learn from a guy like Brad Meester? As long as he's been around, you had a couple years to be in the locker room with him. What kind of lessons did you learn from him?
Shoot, I mean, he's just the ultimate pro. I mean... everything from getting in early, doing the extra film study, you know, knowing every little detail of the plays, and, you know, everybody can kind of lean on him. That's really the center's job. So, you know, even being a 14-year vet, you know, he acted like, you know, every day he was, you know, early in his career just trying to keep his position. So I really respect that and the fact that he didn't take it for granted. Every day he came in, worked his hardest, no matter, you know, if it was his 14th year or his second year.
And I know you get the month off here, but coach is always talking about getting better. How do you get better in a month where you're away from the field?
You know, for me, just coming into camp as fit as possible. You know, we want to be up-tempo, so, you know, just being super fit and looking over your notes over the break, you know, even if it's, you know, three times a week or every day for 20 minutes, just taking a little peek and, you know, keeping things fresh in your mind.
A lot of new faces here on the offensive line as well. Obviously, Beatles will be right next to you there at left guard. Luke Jokel comes back from the injury this year. Could have a rookie starting next year at right guard. So a lot of new faces. How long does it take for an offensive line to gel?
You know, I think we've come a long ways just through coaching sessions, OTAs, and minicamp. You know, we're all starting to get on the same page, get a feel for how everyone plays, and then just kind of bouncing ideas back off, you know, back and forth between each other. And, you know, how was that set for you? You know, did that give you enough help? Things like that. So, you know, the chemistry is getting there. You know, we're all about the same age, which also helps. And, you know, we've all hung out. And so, you know, it's going really good right now.
How much does putting on the pads help with that too? You know, right now you can't have the pads on. You're not really in contact. How much does that help?
Oh, yeah. You know, just it gives us a chance right now just to work on the communication, technique stuff. Obviously, you know, there's no pads on, so you can't really work those double teams and, like, get a good feel for them. But it's more just the footwork and the angles and, you know, just kind of refining all those things.
Jason Babin gets released, or a veteran for this team. Did it come as a surprise to you? What was your reaction?
Yeah, you know, in this business, you will be surprised, but at the same time, you're like, you know, it's crazy things happen. You know, he was a great guy. I loved having him around. It was really cool just to kind of, you know, learn from him, watch how he worked, and, you know, he'll be missed. But, you know, we trust the guys up top, and, you know, they know what they're doing. So, you know, just looking forward to this year.
Any smack talk between you and Denard, you know, the Michigan, Ohio State guys?
Chad usually stays out of it, but Denard, you know, Denard's a little more outgoing, so he'll try to get it going. But, you know, it's easy to remind him that they haven't had much luck beating us lately.
Before I let you go, Monday Night Raw, the jersey got on there. I talked to you about earlier in this week about how it got there. What's the story, man?
Actually, I haven't spoken with him. He didn't tell me he was going to do it, but I'm pretty sure a guy, family friend of ours, is at Raw, and he took his Jags jersey in, and it seemed like he was holding it up the whole, I don't know how long those fights are, hour, two, 3 hours. So it was pretty funny just to get tweets and pictures of it.
And before I let you go, 10 seconds, just talk to the fans here in Jacksonville. What do you want to say to the fans?
You know, we're building a really cool culture here, and, you know, we're excited to have them be a part of it. Looking forward to the beautiful new additions to the stadium, and, you know, they should be excited for this 2014 year coming up.
There you go, Mike Brewster. I think the Jag fans are excited. Now go win some football games.
Yeah, baby.
Justify the excitement. Thanks to Mike, Cecil Shorts, who you got a chance to talk with, J.P. Shadrick for stopping by, Stevie from Ireland calling in. You don't all get called out specifically for calling in the show, but if you do call from overseas, we tend to mention you. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor since 1905, your preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida, the largest selection of new or pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. Got an on-site body shop, paint, repair, all models of Cadillac. Claude Nolan Cadillac, guaranteed to offer the highest level in customer care and service. Check them out online at claudenolan.com. Stop by 4700 Southside Boulevard or call 642-5111. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Joe Fortunato, Lauren Brooks. We're wrapping up Jaguars today for the week. Thanks to all our great sponsors, all our guests this week, all our co-hosts as well. We got Hack, we got Joe C, we got T-Wig coming up, XL Primetime on the other side on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.